Everybody, welcome to another edition of the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. I am Dougie Almeida, broadcasting from Danger Studios in beautiful sunny South Florida, where it's 190 million degrees.
is it still real hot out there?
It's sweaty. It's just balmy and sweaty. And excited to have two fellow comedians here with us today on the show. Our first guest today is Greg Wilson, who's actually here. And a very funny comedian and actor who recently did some stuff on a new sitcom that's out there. I forgot the name, but it's interesting. You play Hispanic brother and
I love you. You make it sound like I'm not Hispanic.
You're like me. Sometimes you get, you know, people think I'm Italian all the time, you know?
Yeah, me too. Exactly. That's usually the first guess, and then Mexican. Yeah.
Yeah. Usually because I pull up my Z28 in pizza, but, and our special and our next guest, too, who's actually taking a second to break away from the screen, co-producer and the developer of the Big Sky Comedy Festival, which I have yet to be in. Have you ever been in the Big Sky Comedy Festival yet, Greg?
No, they turned me down.
Yeah. Well, I haven't been in it either, right? And a fellow comedian and producer, Lucas Seeley's here as a guest.
Good morning, everyone.
Yeah, and now we're going to say... Lucas is not feeling well, and he's a battler. He's got COVID, but he's on the show. Most people would have used the COVID and said, sorry, I can't do your non-paying podcast, so I really do appreciate you doing it.
Hey, listen, I've never been more glad for this to be on Zoom than any other show I've ever done in my life.
Just people get nervous with that stuff. Like, you know, as we're talking before the show a little bit, like when I had it, you know, I tell people now I have it or I had it, and they want, you know, I had it 3 months ago. They move away. They're like, oh, I'm like, dude, I'm healthier than anybody in this room right now. You know, so it's a little crazy. But what are you going to do? But hey, you know, the good thing is once you get it and it's over, you got a few months where you don't have to worry about anything, at least. So, but thanks for being on, Lucas. Well, you guys, obviously, we don't want to talk about that because, right, COVID, I mean, fuck, it's all over the place, the news and stuff. So let's talk about some other things. We're going to talk about sports today because I know, you know, Greg, you're a big sports fan. You got a fantasy football. There you go. And I've yet to participate in fantasy football.
You've never done fantasy football? Because if I walked into a room of people and they were like, pick the one dude that's into fantasy football, you would have been A1 choice, yeah, with a bullet. You look like every dude that's into fantasy football. How have you tried it and you just can get into it, or it just didn't happen?
It just seems like a lot of work. You know what I mean? It just seems like a lot of research, a lot of work. And I really have to spend my days researching other things. You know,
you're really like, what? What I would love to, hear about this research you're doing.
I have to find guests for the podcast, which is
right. Oh, that's got to take a few minutes. No, you know what the thing is? Here's the thing about fantasy football. It can be that, but it doesn't have to be that. You know, you don't have to put in that much effort into it. It's all about what the best part about it is it makes every team interesting to you as opposed to just your team. You know, like, I'm a Cowboys fan. That's my, you know, through and through. But I'm watching the Browns game. I'm watching Miami. I'm watching the Ravens. I've got interest all over the world. So it makes the whole season and all the games far more interesting.
Yeah, I can see that. And, you know, being that I live here in Miami area, it's very difficult to be a Miami Dolphins fan.
Except for last Sunday when you guys crushed fucking Lucas's Niners in what was a mind blowing. I still can't believe what it was, like 51-14 or something. Miami like caught fire. It was fucking weird.
Lucas is in a bad state. We can't be bringing up all this bad shit. He's trying to recuperate.
He's fine.
Now listen, as a Dolphin fan, you know, one of my jokes has always been to season ticket holders. The Dolphins are actually going to give them a free prescription to antidepressants. The team has just been in the doldrums for seasons now. But that was a win. And that was a good win for us here in Miami because the Heat got destroyed by the LA Lakers in game.
Yeah. Boy, that last game wasn't even – it was like watching a big kid beat up on an elementary school kid or something. It was – it was pretty definitive for sure, man. But it was a fun game. If you're in LA, like, you know, like LA is, you know, I've lived here 14 years now. Like, this is my second hometown now. So it's like, if the Dallas team's out, I'm rooting for the LA team. And so for me, it was a lot of fun watching the Lakers bring that home.
Where are you from? San Jose, New Mexico. Where are you from originally again?
I was born in San Jose, but I was raised in Dallas.
Yeah. Lucas, you want to say anything about the 49ers before
I love them no matter what.
And you got to be that way about your team. I mean, absolutely. Listen, I'm a Cowboys fan. We see a lot of disappointments coming out of Dallas, you know, and now the Dak injury. I mean, that was worse than, you know, anything was. I mean, yeah, we won the battle, lost the war. I mean, luckily, I think Dalton is probably the best backup QB in the league, but that's still valedictorian of fucking summer school. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, that was one of our topics today. But we'll start with that. Devastating injury to watch. You know, anybody that happened, you felt it. And it was amazing because he saw it and he looked at it and he had that moment where he tried to fix it. Like, I'll just walk this off. I'll put that back in the place.
Hey, let me just shove this. And I saw it the second it happened. I immediately was like, he broke his leg. Like, I was losing my shit. People were like, what? No, no. I'm like, no, he broke. It's facing the wrong way. He broke his fucking leg. Like, I knew it immediately, dude. I knew it was fucking, it was broken, and then it was gruesome.
Canceled this NFL season. Too many injuries for so many teams. I think they should scrap it.
You know, you make a good point. It was something that I said in my little fantasy football podcast in the, you know, before the pre-draft. I was like, you know, the thing about it is when you have no preseason, no training camp, you can't go full steam at your own players. You can't do it. So without all those things, like I said, this is ripe for a bunch of injuries, and that's precisely what we've seen.
Yeah.
There was no OTAs, no training camp, no preseason, and it's an example of, like, that's why you see so many people getting hurt. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Not even intra-squad scrimmages, which, you know, that's one of the other components that that's kind of where they start going full speed and start hitting each other before they even get to that preseason game. And then they start hitting each other there. I mean, they had to go full steam right out of the bat and nobody was ready for it.
The NFL pulled a hammy, right?
They really did. Yeah.
Because that to me, as a former collegiate soccer player, if you weren't trained right, or as a professional fighter, that was the injury that, you know, if you weren't ready, you would twist an egg or you would pull that hammy.
And I mean, the hammy injuries, it's piled high. I mean, I think all four of the top running back prospects, draft picks out of this year for fantasy football, all four are not playing right now.
And did they all pull their hammy?
All hammies are high ankle sprains. I think Alvin Kamara is like the only one of the top six that's still playing.
The Dak Prescott injury reminded a lot of us of the Joe Theismann injury. I was talking to somebody and they say, which one do you think was worse? And as I watch it, you know, the Joe Theismann injury, you can hear it, right? Like, you heard it.
The snap.
Yeah. But you didn't see it as well. I mean, they had the reverse angle, but the Dak Prescott injury, it almost looked like the guy broke into a crazy yoga move. You know, I mean, it was a little, it was a bit more visible, but the pain.
See, I was going to say with the Dak one, it's the ankle. So at least it's something that's supposed to at least rotate in some degree at some point, even though it did turn into a compound fracture, which means the bone came out the skin.
Mm.
But with the Theismann, and consequently also with the Alex Smith, I mean, that was like mid shin. That's a part of the leg that's never supposed to bend or, you know, in any way, shape, or form. And to me, that was far worse to watch and to hear. Like you said, that fucking pop, you know, that you're like, what the fuck was that? You know, sounded like a car accident was nearby.
Being that it was brought up, I thought I would do a little research. See, that's why I can't do fantasy football, because I'm too busy pulling up research. But, you know, we all know Lawrence Taylor was the person who tackled Theismann. And when it happened, he knew it happened because he jumped off him. And he
jumped up and immediately started waving him in, going, get in here.
I messed him up. And but then there were some other people. There was some thing, you know, you pull up stories from back then. You say that there was a little bit of controversy because I guess that night when he was out, Lawrence Taylor, LT, was saying he was whining like a bitch. And, I couldn't imagine anybody not whining like a bitch when that thing snapped the way it did. You know, it was amazing. It was brought to people's attention many years later. This has happened in 1984, right? 85. But also because it was put on the movie Blind Side. And I think the movie Blind Side opened up with that scene.
Right, because that's where he came from that got him.
Right. And there are some aspects, 10 things you might not know. And you guys are football guys. Now, Luke is a big football fan. Every time I see him, he's got a 49ers stuff on, and you're a big football sports fan. But here are 10 things you may not know about the broken leg of Joe Theismann. Okay?
Okay.
Number one, it wasn't his leg. It was his ass. No, I'm only kidding.
and it wasn't in or during a game. It was at a hot spa later that night.
He was rollerblading when it happened, listening to a Walkman.
Wearing a tube top.
The number one thing that most people aren't aware of, it was during a play. Do you know the play? I know, Greg, you know the play. Do you guys know what play was happening with the play that they called when he got hurt?
Was it a missed handoff, miscommunication?
It was a trick play. It was a flea flicker.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
It was a flea flicker.
What's that?
It was a flea flicker.
Yep. He handed off the ball to John Riggins, who was a badass running back. And
for two seasons.
Yeah, exactly.
He had two magical seasons, like you never heard of him before, and then you never heard of him again.
Right.
It was wild.
He handed off to John Riggins, and John Riggins said, "I don't want this," and gave it back to him. And, of course, then Lawrence Taylor collapsed on the back of him. Number two part of it, missing piece of protection, four-time Pro Bowler, left tackle Joe Jacoby.
Wow.
Who had been partially reasonable for blocking, would have been responsible for covering, partially blocking Taylor, was out that game.
Do you think he feels guilt about that?
You would, right? You would think about it.
Yeah, if that was where you would normally be, and that day it cost that guy his career, I think in that group, I think I would probably feel a little guilty about it for the rest of my life.
Listen, I still think about the time I was 12 years old and I was playing goalie for the Margate City traveling team and the ball went between my legs. And we lost the game to a Miami team who had crazy fans.
And that's why you're a comedian today.
I'm a comedian and not with the MSL. All right, there's some more stuff here. Let's see, I'm on my iPad. Number three, his famous girlfriend. Do you know who his famous girlfriend was at the time?
Cindy Crawford.
You got the initials, I think, but Kathy Lee Crosby.
Oh.
Who was at the game and rode with him in the ambulance and said that she joked that he won't be, his punting game is finished. It's always nice when your woman has a sense of humor about your.
Boy, I was going to say, she really knew how to take that with a grain of salt.
Yeah. I guess you won't be playing intramural kickball, Joe.
And he's probably thinking to himself, this is what I get for dating an actress.
Yeah, thank you, hon.
She's out there making jokes to the media. She's playing it up.
As you said with the Dallas Cowboys, the number four thing most people don't know is that even though they lost Dak Prescott this weekend, they won the game. But actually, Washington Redskins, I'm sorry, the Washington football team.
Ooh, that's right. Ooh. Yeah. Old habits die hard, my man.
They actually won the game.
There you go.
Coming out uneven. His bone was broken so bad that after it healed, you know, his middle name is Eileen. The million-dollar advice, following the suggestion of the Washington owner, Jack Kent Cook, Theismann had taken out an insurance policy that would reimburse him for any suffrage or any type of injury.
Oh, wow.
$1.4 million, where that year he was contracted to be paid $1.2 million. So he actually made $200,000 more. Number seven, he wanted to come back. He thought he can come back. He actually was broadcasting before the end of the season. He actually broadcasted one of the games, and he wanted to come back and just couldn't do it. An injury like that can do that to you. You know,
Alex Smith played this last Sunday after that. And did you see his family in the stands when they realized he was his poor wife? I felt you could just see the anxiety. I mean, she's like, oh, And of course they craned the camera right on her. And of course she went to the game never thinking in a million years he was going to go in and play.
It's a tough thing. Like when I played college, my first 2 years in college, I was the backup goalkeeper. There's nothing worse than sitting on a bench, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When you sit, you practice, you go through all that shit. You know, it's almost like writing, you know, and going to, let's say writing as a comic, writing and, you know, and doing all this shit and never getting on stage.
Right. Right. You're always waiting in case someone doesn't show up.
You're going
and
through
then,
the
booking. And you never get called up.
You're going through the booking, you know, you're sending out your avails. You know, it's even back to the old days where you're sending VCR tapes. You know, you go through all this stuff and you never get stage time.
We used to call into the comic strip in New York and you had to call in on, I want to say it was Mondays or Tuesdays. I think you had actually Monday until Tuesday morning to call in and leave your avails on the answering machine. And I'd leave them every single week, and every single week I wouldn't get shit.
Got to give Richie Tinkin a call. Putting the rest, any doubts about the injury's cultural importance, the incident was referenced in 1991 by an episode of The Simpsons after being interrupted by Marge while watching football's greatest injuries. And let's see. Nine, he saw most of the movie. The who cares about the, was the one I said? Blindside. He actually watched it. You imagine going to see the movie and you got to relive that?
Oh, my God. Dude, that was like, I remember, okay, and this is a strange analogy to draw, but I remember after, you know, I lived in New York through 9/11, and I remember the first time going to a movie, and remember Oliver Stone immediately made that 9/11 movie, and I go to see some other movie, and the preview comes on, and it's got the towers and the thing, and I immediately started having, like, a panic attack. Like, I immediately started freaking out. It was like, why are they showing it? You know, like, it was pretty visceral, man, you know? So I could imagine it was probably, 30 times that for him going to see The Blind Side.
You imagine? He takes his new date. Hey, honey, I'm going to take you to go see this movie. It's about football. I think you'll like it.
And yeah.
All of a sudden.
The wife's like, no, you'll like it. It's got Sandra Bullock for me, and it's got football for you.
It's a great pick.
You're going to love it. Let's go. It's a date night. Come on.
Yeah. So, terrible, terrible thing. I think one of the worst injuries I ever received was getting my tooth knocked out when I was 12 years old playing soccer. You know, you talk about, you know, I'm a goalie. So I came, it was a one-on-one situation. So I came running out to get to the ball and I come out sliding and the guy came feet first. He's supposed to jump over you, but he came with his cleats first, kicked me in the mouth. The whole tooth came out. It looked like the root and everything.
Nice. So speaking of Theismann, two more things about Theismann. Number one, it's actually pronounced Theismann.
Oh, really?
They started pronouncing it Theismann in college because his college coach was like, Theismann rhymes with Heisman. And if you play by Theismann, you'll win the Heisman. And he did. And the other thing about it was I actually met the man back in the, you know, when I used to have the day jobs. I was a DJ. Like, I would do weddings and parties and corporate events. So I got hired to do this big corporate event, and the keynote speaker was Joe Theismann. And so I meet him in the elevator, and he was the most tan person I've ever met. Like, it was a deep golf tan. And he goes, hey, Greg. And they're like, oh, Greg, we wanted to give you this jersey. And so they give me a Theismann jersey. I'm a Cowboys fan, mind you. They give me a Theismann jersey, and then Theismann signs it for me, and he misspells Greg. He spells it with two G's at the end, which has got to be definitely a distant second way of spelling it. The most common way has got to be G-R-E-G. Like, I don't know who automatically adds the third G.
Yeah, I didn't know you were into office supplies and electronics. You know.
Like, yeah, exactly. So he does. And so then I had this Theismann signed Redskins jersey with my name spelled wrong that I eventually sold on eBay.
I thought you were going to say he spelt my name Greg wrong. He spelt it S-A-L-L-Y. Wow, buddy, that injury didn't affect more than just your leg.
I'm sorry I didn't take that in the direction you were going to take it.
That's all right, though. We're Zooming. If we were in person, we would have a lot more chemistry going on.
We would have. Yeah, absolutely. We would have picked up on that.
And we'd all have COVID. You would. I have antibodies, so you would then get sick. And
yeah, maybe for another month.
Yeah. Let's talk about comedy. One of the first subjects I want to talk about, if you guys caught the Bill Burr monologue on Saturday Night Live last weekend. You know, there was in comedy, especially the last year with all this cancel culture and all this, you know, politically correct shit. One of the best moments, of course, is when you watch the David Chappelle special, you know, and he came out and just destroyed all that political correct shit.
Yeah.
You know, he says, you know, I'm not an N-word. You know, I'm not that either. And, you know, that was just incredible stuff. You know, what did you guys think about it? Did you see it?
I did. I saw the Bill Burr. Sorry, Lucas. Go ahead, man. You haven't jump in there, man.
I was just gonna say, I thought it was great. I mean, you could tell like his trying to get a reaction from the audience. You could see it in his eyes. He's just like, all right, this is what it is. But I thought it was something we just needed to hear for sure. I thought it was great.
Now, for me, I mean, what did you think about it versus Chris Rock's monologue the week before?
I didn't even see Chris Rock's the week before.
Okay, because I think the thing that was more glaring in Chris Rock's, and I think it probably has to do with being more, you know, tuned up in terms of having performed more leading into all this disaster. Because Chris Rock's, I love Chris Rock, but I felt like his was pretty obvious that there were no comedy clubs for him to go try this out at, you know, that it was very raw and it wasn't fully formed in terms of the material. And I thought Bill's kind of flashed a little of that too, but he definitely seemed more in tune and in voice in terms of being up there and delivering that stuff. But you could tell there were a couple of moments where you were like, if he'd had a chance to do this a few times at the Comedy Store, that this would probably been a little bit tighter, but I still thought it was a brilliant, I thought it was a brilliant monologue for a comedian working in that space.
And not only that, but to do it on live television, you know, it's one thing if you get to do it in a club in Wichita, you know, or in a 2 o'clock, 2 in the morning show, you know, you're just putting it out there, but to be able to do it. And, you know, and again, this is the kudos I give, because we all know how hard it is when you have a joke. Like I was in Miami doing an outdoor gig this past weekend. Like I said, I was sweating my balls off. It's like I'm doing a 10-minute spot. And I realize I'm at a Cuban restaurant and I'm, you know, it's mostly Hispanics there. I am a Hispanic, but I'm sure the crowd thinks I'm Italian. And I did my wet vac joke. And basically it's a play. You know, I asked my wife to go get me a wet vac. She comes back with a guy named Juan. And, you know, and just you could tell that it was just the crowd was not, you know what I mean? But I had a point. I said, look, I'm going to tell this joke. First of all, I'm not getting paid for this gig. It's just, you know, so I don't really give a shit. I'm just going to do what I want to do. And because I'm going to say, because I think it's a funny joke. You know, I don't think it has anything to do. And, but for him to do that on national television live, and you're right, you could sense there was that, not because he's so fucking good, Bill Burr, that you can almost, like you said, you could sense there was something there that had not been polished yet. But he came out with it, and you know he's like, all right, you know, and again, just the beauty of a veteran.
Yeah, it was literally just like one or two beats, very small, where you could tell it was like, I bet he wished he had a chance to work on that just one or two times in front of a live audience before this.
I didn't sense it. Did you guys sense the audience was really? I mean, after the after fact, it's different. But did you guys sense the audience was a little taken by it?
Yeah.
Absolutely, especially when it got to the white women hijacking the woke movement joke. I think there were a lot of white women in that crowd that were like, I am there. And like, you know, I think it definitely pushed those. And he closed with it. That was like the last joke, you know? I mean, the order might have been a little differently otherwise, you know?
You know, is this something that, you know, along with all the other stuff that comedy has to deal with now, right? The challenges that we have in front of us. And we've had this political correctness stuff in front of us now for a few years, 2 or 3 or 4 years. It's been around. And now, you know, obviously the crowd situation, you know, and everything we're dealing with this year. I mean, is it, you know, how hard is it to be a comic right now?
It's impossible. Listen, Zoom shows, like, this is fine. This is a conversation. This is us, you know, talking about subjects, having a little fun. You know, this is great. For me, this is what Zoom is great at. But when you talk about doing stand-up shows via Zoom, I compare it to using a condom made of Legos. Like, it's going to work, but ain't nobody getting off on it.
I'm actually trying to think of how many pieces I'd need for my Legos.
Well, you need those long pieces, and then you need a couple of those shorter, fat ones at the end.
Yeah. Need the block, the block ones or the long ones.
Hey, guys, I need to lay down. Tired.
All right, brother.
Understood, man.
Glad you stuck around, bro. Thanks. And hey, man, and God strength you, man. Be good. You'll be good. You'll kick its ass.
Thanks, man.
Stay crispy.
And then you can join my antibody comedy tour.
All right.
Take care, Lewis. So yeah, dude, that's tough, man. Good to come out and do it. And still do it.
You know what? I'm amazed. I wouldn't. I mean, maybe he needed it just a matter of, you know, just to kind of break up the day of just sitting around being sick. So in that regards, I could completely understand. But for me, I don't think I would have even have attempted it. Like, it seems like he's pretty deep in it.
Yeah, dude, I feel, like I said, I had it, but I never felt anything like that. You know what I mean?
Well, and see, this is the problem with it. And now that he's gone, we can talk about this. Because we didn't want to talk about it too much with him. Right. He said that at the beginning, that's fine. But here's that's the problem is, you don't get to choose how hard it hits you. You don't get to choose if you're going to be just the lose their sense of smell guy, or if you're going to be the fucking intubation guy. You don't get to choose. And he's a healthy guy.
Yeah.
You know, he's a fit guy. He's not somebody that I would, you know, say like he smokes a bud. You don't do any of that shit. And to see it hitting him that hard, I mean, that just shows that's the danger in that. You don't get to choose which version of it you get. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's
and you got a good version. You kicked its ass. You're like in 2 weeks, you were back on the road.
Yeah, and I opened a kissing booth.
Now, do you think you got it on the road?
No, I know I got it from my wife just on the progression because she tested as well. And yeah, who knows? We kind of think it was somebody who was working at her mother's house. Because a general contractor ended up telling my mother-in-law that one of the workers there had it. And it may have been the day my wife was being nice and helping them move one of the heavy tables from the area they were fixing. He was like, gets COVID all over my wife. It's, you know, and here's the thing, people treat it like it's a venereal disease. You know, when our president got it and people are like all of a sudden irresponsible, it's amazing how people would think you're irresponsible for catching it. And that's a crazy thing because you can just catch it. You can get on an elevator. Nobody's on. It could have just been somebody who was on the elevator before you. You know, it could be a million.
Well, and that's one of the things that scares me about doing live shows. I know you're comfortable with it. You've been doing it. But for me, I'm hilarious. And when I do, but I mean, think about it. The way that they test you is you've got to be, you got to bring it up into you. Well, when you guffaw, when you laugh hard, it's coming up from the back of your throat. It's coming up with a ha, ha, and you're misting it out into the air because God forbid they try and make you keep a mask on during a comedy show. So, I mean, to me, for someone as funny as me, it's life threatening.
So you're saying it's okay for me to tour because I'm not that funny. And the laughs weren't that. Exactly. Yeah, Dougie can go on the road.
Lucas too. Don't worry. Lucas definitely didn't catch you doing a show.
Thanks. Yeah, dude, it's, you know, but
if you know what? I'll say this about Lucas's festival. He's really smart in that he makes sure he has industry there. So many of these festivals, there's no industry there. And it's like, you're spending money. You're wasting money really normally on the expense to be there. And for what? Just to perform in another town. Like I've done a number of those festivals. Like I did one, this called Laugh Your Asheville Off. And it was such a waste of time because there was no industry. And normally like you want to do a lot of sets. If there's no industry, fine. Just give me a lot of sets at a lot of different venues. But this one you did like one show or two over 4 days. And I'm like, fuck you. I mean, thank you for, I mean, I, but what the fuck, what value is this? I'm here for 4 days. I mean, you pay for the hotel. I pay for the flights. And there's no industry, zero industry. You know, it's like, it just felt like a giant fucking waste of time. So it seems like if you're going to have a festival, you either want to give the comedians a lot of sets or you got to have some industry there. And his has a lot of industry.
Like, you know, there was some controversy this week on Facebook. A comic came out and called out the World Series of Comedy. And, you know, I've had a good experience with them. I love Joe Lowers and everybody involved with it because I've gotten a lot of work from it. And right. You know, like you said, like they don't have just one location. I did at Laugh You Asheville in the 10-year anniversary. I think it was 2015, maybe. I can't remember what year it was. I did it, and I was the same way. I was like, one fucking show. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's it.
Right, one show. If I remember, I know. I'm like, it had to have been two shows, but I think it was one show.
It's like,
and I'm like, what did I come out here for?
It's like the premature ejaculation of comedy festivals. Like, you go out there.
Yeah, it was. And then that's it.
Yeah. And to the contrary of that, like I said, World Series of Comedy, you go to the different variable satellites. Like, I didn't care about winning. I would go to them to basically be seen by the club owner because they're usually there judging those satellites.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah. Way
of getting in. And I, you know, the Looney Bins, like Looney's Comedy Corner, Colorado Springs, you know, a bunch of places I'm working because of that. Yeah. Place. And somebody's
no, there's a lot of value to doing the World Series. There is. They have a lot of good bookers that see it. And again, that to me, that's the value of doing those. So it's, you either got to have an incredibly fun experience where you get to do a bunch of shows at all these different little places, yeah, or you got to have some industry.
Like, you know, like I know, like you said, Big Sky Comedy Festival has what I could tell that's their biggest thing, the industry that is there, you know. And I've told some people there's so much industry there that you don't want to go unless you're ready. Yeah, that's one of those festivals.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, when I said they didn't take me, here's the thing about that. Lucas does. He does use it as a way of getting back at comics he thinks haven't been nice to him. Ah. So it's like, if you wanted his festival, like, if you haven't been nice to him at the club, which I've always gotten along with Lucas, but I mean, I don't kiss his ass in any way. I treat him like a comic, which is, you know, just like everybody else.
Right.
And I feel like he always kind of got a little butthurt about it. And so when I didn't get to the festival, I was not surprised. You know, yeah. I was like, I was actually going to be surprised if he would have let me in.
We had a showcase. I had a showcase in Miami for the last year's one. And, you know, like if whoever wins the showcase could be in it. And I'm thinking, this is great. You know, I've been in a few. I've been in NoHo Comedy Festival. I've been in a few World Series. Sure. Laugh You Asheville, the Boston Comedy Festival. I'd been a few, so I thought, okay, this is definitely that and Laughing Skull were two of the festivals I really wanted to get into. And Laughing Skull's kind of fallen off that a little bit from what I understand. But, you know, those are two of the ones I really still to this day would like to get into. So I thought, I'm going to do this. And, you know, and it didn't work out because I ended up going up last out of like 20 comics in this fucking thing. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. But, you know, it's so funny. I've actually written an article because, you know, I teach stand-up too. At thecomedyinstitute.com. And one of the things I've talked about with contest is your position in that lineup. It pretty much almost determines how you're going to do in the show.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to be in spots 3 through 5. 3 through 5 are the money spots. And even 2 through 4, I mean, there's that 3 little soft spot. You don't want to be 1. But anything after those first 4 or 5, it just gets harder and harder and harder to the point where I say, if you're not in those first 5 spots, you need to do crowd work. Just go into the crowd and do some improv because that's what's going to set you apart from everybody else that did material. And it's really your only way to shot. And now, if you're the very last guy, sometimes they perk up at the very end.
Yeah,
so they're like, oh, the last guy. Okay. And then they kind of refresh themselves for the last guy. But there's a giant dead zone depending on how many people are in that show. So when you wind up in a position like yours, that's a no-win situation. You know, crowd work would have been your best tool.
Yeah, and that's great advice because, for example, on the World Series of Comedy main event, which is going to be at the Stratosphere, the LA Comedy Club in November, I actually had 2 weeks planned in Vegas because I was supposed to be opening for Tom Rhodes at the Laugh Factory in November 16th or the 22nd, but I think Tom changed it for another date because, you know, they're only gonna have they're gonna reopen, but they're gonna have half capacity and it's less money and all that shit. So
I think they did open. I thought they did.
Yeah, they did. And, you know, of course, you know, Harry called, I messaged them and like, yeah, we're rebooking it all. And I understand. Listen, you want, same thing for me. I'm not going to take half the, the feature money or the MC money, you know, to
listen. You know. One club called me up. They're like, hey, we're opening up. Do you want to come back, you know, like in 2 weeks? I was like, no, can I come back in November?
Yeah, it's true. But, you know, I'm like on that show, I'm going to be on the Friday night show, 9 comics. I think I'm 9th. So that is going to be, I have to, you know, it's a good point. Either I'm going to come out, a fellow comic of mine who I introduced to the World Series of Comedy, very funny comic now living in LA, Matt Derndack. And he is great for that improvised type, okay, you know, crowd work. And, you know, in the World Series of Comedy, he was in the top 3 last year on the main event. But, you know, he's admittedly doesn't have as much material, but he came out and just crushed over the guy before whom, did well because he just messed with him. You know, the guy came out and
he just riffed on what he did. Yeah.
Just kind of said, you know, because I remember the comics.
Dude, when you riff, when you do crowd work, it's like it's a bonus 2-3 points just because you're working without a net.
Right.
You know, and they almost, and then like there's especially when you're judging comedy, there's a high mindedness that comes into play where they're looking for something more. You know, and so they stop just enjoying comedy and say, hey, who's really funny here? And they start adding these extra little like, well, but he was cleaner, but yeah, he did stuff about his family. You know what I mean? It's like, who was funny? Who fucking, but a lot of that, those extra layers fall apart the second you're improvising, because this isn't what you planned. Right. This isn't what you came up there to say. So now the danger factor's higher. So you get all these bonus mental points and the judginess of what are your choice of material comes down. And so that's where it can be incredibly valuable. And like you said, your boys place second or third, you know, because it sets you apart. It takes the stakes up a little higher.
Yeah, that's why I am a crowd work comic. I rely on my wit. That's my quickness. And, you know, and other people, especially if you're opening somebody, they may not like that. But some of the most gratifying times on stage is when something happens from nothing. You know, you just sit there and somebody says something and you just come up with 2 minutes that just crushes. And it's all just right at the moment. And, and the crowd knows it because the crowd knows you basically just did that right there.
One time I got so screwed. It was at the Ventura Harbor Comedy Contest. And I mean, it was the finals and I dominated the rest of the rounds. And I mean, I went up there, I was crowd working, blah, 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 blah. I did one scripted piece, but it was an anal sex joke. I admit it, you know, but I mean, that's where the riffing kind of took us. Like it was from the crowd work that kind of brought me to that joke. And I remember thinking to myself, like, Greg, you know, yes, this joke is going to crush, but the judges are going to hate it. And then there was the other voice that was like, but if it super crushes, it's undeniable. And I mean, I blew that room to fucking smithereens. Right. I walked out of there with bricks in my pockets and I got fucking third.
Oh, well, you and I,
and were... I was infuriated. I was just like, in what world, you fucking cockster? Fucking Jesus.
Well, you and I are in that one comedy contest last year. Where I saw you at the NoHo Comedy Festival and you didn't get through. So I was like really thinking you, and your advice to me was just come out, because I was going to try to pace myself, like come out with good stuff, but try to make it to the next round. And you said you got to come out with your just to get to that, come out with your best shit.
Just don't leave anything. Exactly. Don't save anything for later. That was what I learned was don't save it. Do the big bombs now and work your way down from there. And that was another thing that I put in my Just the Tips column. Was don't save anything for the finals. If you can't do all the best stuff up front and take it and step it down from there.
Well, I probably should have stuck with my original plan, which was to do my self-deprecating humor first, because my other stuff was a little edgy and the blue state crowd didn't think it was as funny as I thought. What are you gonna do?
But I will say this. I love comedy contests. I just love the energy. I mean, yeah, I've won a few. I've gotten fucked over in a bunch of them. But I still love it. It's still fun. It's just different. There's energy. It's exciting. I used to do speech and drama contests in high school all the time, and I fucking loved them. I wish we had more comedy contests. I would do them all the time. I think it was so much fun.
Well, there's different. There's comedy festivals where you just perform. And one of the things I mentioned, too, was the SLO Comedy Festival in San Luis Obispo.
Yeah.
Which I participate in, where it's not a contest, but they give you multiple shows. Especially if you're out of town, they give you four or five shows. And it's great. Plus, they give you the hotel. And when I was there, you never had to worry about food. They were always cooking. There was always barbecue.
Oh, yeah. No, it's a. I love the Slow Festival. The only thing I don't like the Slow Festival is this. Best of Fest, which I got. But, I mean, you know, is determined exclusively by Saturday night. And you have some comics that have three spots on Saturday night and some that have one.
Yeah.
And it's like, how is that fucking fair?
Yeah.
They get three shots to make Best of Fest and I get one?
Yeah.
That, fuck you.
And when I was there, I had the good shows with the other shows. The Saturday night show was on when it was at some candle making fucking place, you know, and I'm like eight people there.
And it's like, well, this isn't fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the one thing. I think it should be cumulative, like basically what they're the feedback over the entire festival, you know, and they should just select their Best of Fest, as opposed to leaving it to one night and the audience writing it in and some guys getting three shots and some guys getting one. I mean, because while the numbers are probably even over the course of the days, having it be that one Saturday night, I felt like that was wildly unfair. But again, I made Best of Fest, but I mean, I still thought it was incredibly unfair.
Yeah, I was going to go. I wanted to go back, and I'd mentioned Eric. I want to go back a few times, but last couple of years, I got in, but I ended up working. You know, I'm not going to turn down a work weekend for that. You know,
well, that is true. It's tough. That's one of those ones. It doesn't make you no money. So, you know, I remember when I did Best of Fest, like it was the one show. You know, it's the big theater, and so you could sell merch. They were like, you could sell your merch after the show. And I'm like, awesome. Then finally, we'll make a little money back. It's this big, you know, with several hundred people, you know, you have a good set, you sell the shirts. So we finished the show. And then, you know, Chance's wife, I think it was, Marade, I don't want to say her name is, who's a sweetheart of a gal, great gal. She's like, comics, come on stage. Let's get a picture together. Come on stage. Meanwhile, the audience is flooding out. And so we take the picture and then I can't even get back up to the front. To try and sell the t-shirt. So by the time I'm in it, we missed everything. Didn't make a fucking dime. Oh my God. I was so pissed. All this for a fucking picture. I'm like, oh,
that is
we
the
couldn't
worst.
Take the picture after the merch sales. Jesus.
That is the worst when you're after a show and you're trying to sell merch and someone comes up and starts telling you about their kids and their family. Oh, my daughter.
Oh, yeah. They want to engage you. And yeah, you're watching people just walk behind them. I'm like, there goes $20. There goes $20. There goes $20.
There goes the screen. It's the worst, you know. And I look at them like, I got to fucking make money here. You know what I mean? At least I tell you what, if you're going to sit here and talk to me, at least buy five shirts. It's like when you go to a strip club and you don't want the girl to dance. Like when I used to go to strip clubs, I didn't want a girl to dance for me. Just sit there and let's bullshit. Yeah. So every few minutes, I give her a $20 bill. You know what I mean? There you go.
See, that's you. See, I want her to earn that fucking money. Yeah. I don't want to talk to you. I want you to grind your ass on my cock. Come on. What are you doing? Yeah. You need to go to a Starbucks. You're going to the wrong fucking places today. I don't know. You're wasting a perfectly good trip to a strip club.
You mean to tell me all those years, all that money I spent, I could have just went to Starbucks?
Yes. I'm just looking for coffee. You're that guy that wants to be the nice guy in the room.
That's right.
That wants to actually treat him like, you know, oh, I could see this and who you, which is fine. But the job is the job.
Yeah.
I want to enjoy you doing that job.
I was considered a white knight. But here's the thing. There was a point.
I love it. You know the term for it. Some girl must have told you.
Yeah.
You're a white knight.
Yeah, you're a white knight. And because, listen, I have memories. Trust me, I have memories. I remember one year I looked at it. I think I spent over $30,000 in strip clubs one year.
Oh, my God.
Bar tabs and stuff. Yeah, it was great. So, but, dude, there's like we would – my buddy Rick and I, my buddy played soccer with in college. He's from Sweden. He'd pull up in the Porsche. I'd pull up in my Corvette. You know, this is the day. And, you know, we would go there and we'd have 10 women with us at the table just hanging out because we'd all go to South Beach all weekend.
Is this like, back when you had your soccer body?
Yeah, this is back when I had my soccer body and a 34-inch waist. Now I go to a strip club. It looks like somebody's coming down the street with an ice cream truck.
Listen, you go to a strip club now and they're like, he's not here to white knight. This guy's here to get his boner rubbed.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, speaking of having your boner rubbed, are you that, you know, you're on the road? Well, we've been on the road before, but, you know, it seems a lot of people or guys have been known to wear underwear more than once. Are you one of those guys who will wear your underwear for 2 days?
No. And in fact, I pack way too many underwear as my wife says, as if I'm going to shit myself twice a day.
Yeah.
Because I always want to come home with spare underwear. Not quite as bad as she does. She really takes too many underwear. But, I mean, I've always got, you know, three, four extra pair. Yeah, I'm not going to. And if for some reason I don't, I will immediately go to the store. I'll find a Ross
right.
and buy some underwear, which is not really the best. They look normal, but they're not normal.
They never feel right.
They never, I bought a pair. They looked normal. They were polo. I was like, all right, polo, whatever, you know? And then I get them back and they're fucking Manties. Okay. I had Manties. I have them now. I hate to wear them, but I mean, they're there. And I had to wear them that weekend. Fucking Manties.
Well, you know, packing extra underwear is easy. They're very thin. You could put 20 underwear in a 3 day pack, you know, and then you're fine. It's not like you're bringing shoes and sneakers, you know?
Yeah. Listen, I'm a classic overpacker anyway. You know, I'm back in a pack because, you know, you got to have your workout clothes. Then you got to have your walking around daytime clothes. Then you got to have your show clothes. And these are three different sets of clothes that you have to have for every single day, even though I'm probably not going to be looking at me. I'm not working out every single day, but I like to pretend I might.
That's right. You got to act like it, you know, but they sit there. They stay nice and clean in the suitcase. I remember when I first started touring, I would be wearing like these beautiful like silk shirts. And the matching suede shoes.
Nice, yeah. I don't know how they thought you were Italian.
You know what I mean? And then
but I'd have silk shirts and fucking pointy gaiters.
Yeah, I'd have these suede Italian shoes, $800 shoes. And then, you know, I was like, I actually was working in New York that week, and I'm walking around the subway with those shoes, going, I think I'm just going to get some Chuck Taylors. And you know what? I get the same amount of compliments. For that. Anyway, so it says here, by the way, there's a little story here about what happens to your body when you don't change your underwear. Many people don't realize this, but it's not very good. You may want to be changing your underwear.
This is a newsflash. Hey, everybody. Newsflash.
You heard it here first. Wearing dirty underwear quite simply traps sweat, dirt, and bacteria. And holds them to your skin. They say you should sleep naked. I sleep naked. Sleep naked?
No, it's fucking gross.
See, that's the thing. If you wear your,
I'm not gonna fucking fart unfiltered into my sheets. Are you kidding me? That is the exact point of underwear.
So
do you change your sheets every day?
No, we don't change it.
Then you're disgusting. Then that is fucking gross. Then you're a disgusting fucking animal.
I'm not eating.
And I feel sorry for your wife.
I'm not eating burritos at midnight either, dude. And I'm fucking.
But you're fucking ripping them. You're ripping them all night. And look at you. You're not ripping fucking sweet, dainty farts. You're fucking juicers, man. You're fucking.
I don't know who you've been talking to, Greg, but I am not a midnight farter. Okay. I'm not the guy who.
You are so cute. I want everybody that ever sees this to message you and tell you you look like a fucking big time late night farter.
Well, you thought I was a fantasy football guy too, and how right were you about that?
I think I'm still pretty. I would put more money on the farting.
No, I'm not. I'm really not. I'm not a farter.
Really? You think you don't fart? Can we get your wife in here?
No, don't, because she'll fart when she walks in. My wife.
Can I tell you something? I used to date this gal, and she was convinced she never farted. She said, "I never farted." Real skinny gal. And so one night we're sleeping, and I mean, she blasts my thigh so hard it just vibrates. My thigh, blah, 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 blah. And it woke me up. I was like, Jesus Christ. And I woke her up. I said, wake up. I was like, what the fuck? I'm like, smell that. She's like, oh my God. I'm like, that's you, bitch. That's fucking you. You farted on my leg.
Yeah, that's, I actually broke up with a girl because she farted. We're on a plane, we're flying back from somewhere, and she's ripping, and they were horrible. like, you know, she was a little young, smaller, petite girl, you know, and of course people are looking now, they're smelling this sulfuric catastrophe that's emanating through the air, and they're looking at me, people are starting to fucking look at me. And I'm like, it's this little girl here. And you know what I mean? So she just thought it was so fucking funny. So then when her sister came to pick us up at the airport, we're in the backseat of the car. So I get some build up and I start like, she's looking at me like, why are you my sister? I'm like, I don't give a, like, and that was it. I never spoke to her again. The girl calls me a couple, like a week later. She's like, what happened? What? I don't understand. Everything was going so great. I'm like, not for me. You're smelling.
Well, for me, you fucking gross ass. You
fucking, it's a fucking.
Fine, take that shit to the bathroom. You embarrassed us both.
It was a deal breaker. That's what I'm saying.
I knew a gal that she was like, she kept debating on whether or not to break up with her boyfriend because she was like, she was Australian. She was like, you don't understand. His fats are so big. Every time he fats, I think we got to break up.
It is. It's a deal breaker, man. Any other?
It can be tough.
That's, you know, trying to think what else is a deal. Oh yeah, when a woman, what else is a deal breaker about a chick? When she has a cock, yeah, that's a deal breaker.
Can be, depending on who you are.
Yeah, depends on how good looking she is and whether or not she could fool my friends. we usually have a word of the day. We have words of the day today, and I'll just go through them quickly because we're pushing time. Today's word is purpose. One of the today's word is purpose. And would you like to define purpose, Greg?
No.
Okay. I will. The purpose, the reason for which something is done or created or which something exists, its purpose. And then our second word of the day is necessity. You want to define necessity?
No, you can go ahead.
Okay.
It's not to say that I don't know what they mean. I don't feel like trying to come up with a definition right now.
Did you catch COVID from
these aren't deep vocabulary words. I mean,
by the way, my friend Skippy was watching. Yes. Lucas was on, but he's not feeling well. So he didn't make it through. We couldn't fill in his spot. Necessity and the fact of being required or indispensable, prerequisite or essential. That's necessity. Some people think it's a necessity to have a new iPhone. You know, and then they feel
it depends on your business.
And then they feel the necessity of complaining because they didn't get their $1,200 check. So, all right. Well, we usually have a contest called Make It Funny. But since your contestant is not here, you win by default. Congratulations.
I like it. This is the kind of comedy contest I like.
Won. That happened to me, by the way, with this, when I was doing that. It was supposed to be a contest, but the guy I was supposed to go up against didn't show up, but I won by default. And he's probably sitting in his AC going, fuck that, at home. By the way, this week's prize, congratulations for winning. This week's prize was a free lifetime membership to Antifa and the Proud Boys. So congratulations.
Ooh, what a free life. Both. Yeah. Both.
Yeah. Yeah. So
that's prestigious.
Yes.
Would you care to define prestigious?
No, not at all. But so good. So that
exactly. Now you know how I feel.
See, this is why we need a third.
Or prestigious, depending on how you know. Usually, it's an adjective. It's prestigious or prestigious.
Yes.
How do you say? Which one do you use?
Prestigious. Prestigious is probably
prestigious. Yeah, one or the other.
Here's our first story. But this is a segment called Make It Funny. So we basically got some stories. Our job is to try to make them funny because that's what comics do, right? You can even take tragic situations and try to make them funny, right? But
you try.
We're going to try. But the first story, this is a great story because did you hear about the, I guess there was a priest in Louisiana who got caught having sex on the altar of the church with two dominatrix?
Okay.
A real story, but the church.
I don't disbelieve you.
Yes, well, you know, who would have thought somebody who works at the church is a pervert? Church burns altar where priest had sex with two women, and the Louisiana archbishop says. So, you know, I remember the time I banged a girl on my boss's desk. Where's the Aside from a bedroom, where we'll play a little back and forth. Let's see who we get.
Oh, well, wait a minute. My take on this really quickly, if we're going to make it funny, my quick take is that guy should be given an award for at least being with adults.
Yeah.
They should have been like, oh, Father Patterson, way to go. I mean, you know, at least this isn't a crime.
Yeah, at least two things. It was a woman.
and an adult. And two of them. Oh, yeah. Please. That guy, he deserves a medal.
Yeah, he should be the Archbishop. Yeah, I mean, where do you go from there? Like, you know, if you're a priest and that's what you do, how can you have a following after that?
Well, you're about the same age I am. Remember, like, all the Jimmy Swaggart and Jim Baker and all those guys that were like up there all glow, and then all of them got busted sleeping with the secretary.
Yeah.
You know, and then they would try and like hold on to the whole thing for a while. You know, they would try to like keep going and everything, but it would slowly just like towards the end, Jimmy Swaggart was just like slumped down on the stage, just like, yeah. And his son would do the thing. It was just tragic, man.
Great. It was great when you remember they had those moments where they would apologize. I'm sorry. I didn't.
Oh, yes. Oh, the tears. Yeah. Remember Robert Tilton?
Oh, yeah.
He was the one out of Dallas. So he was Dallas's version of Jimmy Swaggart. Was right, and he had the hair and the face was all, you know, plastered up and everything. And he got caught fucking too. Like, I have sinned against the Lord. You know, I was like, oh, boy.
Yeah.
All of them. They all got caught.
We all sin. You know, that's the thing. You know,
well, you're right.
This discussion about piety, you know, when it comes to politics, this person, that person. And you're like, man, we're all human, dude. You know, everybody.
Well, and I think that's one of the biggest mistakes we make in terms of choosing politicians and expecting them to be Boy Scouts. Yeah. It's like if we just find people who are good at the job and stop expecting them to have perfect, you know, backgrounds, well, maybe we'd get good people in there that could actually do a good job, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Well, here's a guy who didn't do a good job. Man arrested for stuffing razor blades into consumers' pizza dough.
Oof.
Now, I love pizza.
I'm with you.
What's your favorite topping on a pizza?
My standard issue, like they can't fuck it up anywhere order, is pepperoni, mushroom, extra cheese. That's my, and maybe double pepperoni, depending on how they do it.
Hmm. Well, I'm going to blow your mind. My favorite pizza is the chicken parmesan pizza.
Really?
Yes. There's a place called Sicilian Oven here in Florida. I don't know if they have them in California.
But I don't think so.
It is a oven baked pizza. And then, you know, a nice, and it has not only just regular mozzarella cheese, but also has some ricotta cheese in there. And it has pieces of chicken, like cutlet, like a chicken parm. Mm, delicious.
And sounds fantastic. Delicious.
And if it's
you know what? I like fancy pizzas. If they do something a little bit different, that's like their specialty, I'm down. Order it up. I'll take it.
And if you can, if you ever can try it, one of my favorite, just to get, if you're not at that particular location, I get an extra cheese with extra sauce, extra cheese, meatball, and onion, red onion preferably.
And you beat COVID, you say?
Yes, I did. Amazing. Look at healthy Lucas.
Yeah, I know. Listen, that's what I'm saying about this. That's what still makes it dangerous. You don't get to choose which version you get. I feel very bad for Lucas.
Yeah,
I really do. Poor guy. He's a sweetheart of a guy. I know I busted his chops a little bit earlier about the whole thing. But, I mean, the reality is he's a sweetheart of a guy. And, no, like, even when Trump got it, you know, I'm not – I know you're more on that side. I'm on the other side. But, I mean, you know, a friend of mine was like, how happy are you? I'm like, I'm not happy at all. I don't want anybody to fucking get this thing. You know, I mean, it's no fun, and it's very, you know, and it could be very scary, and who knows what version of it he's going to get. I don't want anybody to get it, and certainly not Lucas. I mean, Lucas is a good guy and generally a very decent person, and I certainly hope he feels better.
Yeah, me too. And you have to worry, because even as asymptomatic as I was, usually my doctor even said, we got to get past the seventh, eighth day, because it could end up getting worse. It could just turn on you. People could be okay for the first week, and the second week you end up, you know, being messed up. But it says here, back to our story, man has been arrested after he was caught putting razor blades into pizza dough that was then sold to a customer, according to the Saco Police Department in Maine. The customer had reportedly purchased a Portland pizza pie dough. Who goes and buys pizza dough? You know what I mean?
It's weird. Yeah.
I mean, are these the same people that ate at the Melting Pot?
Yeah, I was going to say, this is like the worst of both worlds. Like, you're going out to pick up the dough to go home and go through the process of making the pizza. And like, that's the worst of both worlds.
So the guy was hoping the guy would take the dough and try to knead, you know, maybe knead the dough and then cut his fingers off. You know, that's pretty cruel. That's a deal breaker. If I met a girl who put razor blades in my pizza dough, I think I would be a deal breaker.
I think that's a universal deal breaker. Yeah, I think you're feel pretty safe with that one.
I wanted to ask you this real quick. You know, we mentioned this about on the church, having sex on the church. Aside from a bedroom, where are some places are good places to have sex? You say one, awesome. We'll go back and forth. You ready? Just come up.
Okay.
Just like rapid thought. Go.
You know, a tent,
lifeguard stand.
Oh yeah, the like beach lifeguard stand.
Yes.
I was gonna say pool lifeguard stand's gonna be pretty. Dude, you're gonna be athletic. You're gonna have to do a handstand or some shit to pull that off. But yes, a beach lifeguard stand, absolutely. Either in or underneath.
Yes, it depends on the structure of the lifeguard stand.
That's true. Yeah.
But living here on the beach in Florida back in high school, that was a great look. Hey, we could go down to the beach, have some beers, honey, and go hang out.
Oh yeah, listen, you get them down to the beach. It's on.
That's
it's
it.
It's on like donkey cow.
And then, of course, you had you go to the local parks, the dugout. Sometimes the dugout had a little cover.
Oh, that's all you. That is not enough cover for me.
Yeah. Excuse me there, Captain Big Dick. I am.
No, I'm just saying.
My dick's too
big. In fact, the opposite. I don't want anybody to see this body out there like, go, just round the base. Doing it during the game. Shut up, kid. Just run the base.
Somebody call a trainer. Yeah, and the car, of course. The car was a great spot.
Oh, yeah, the car. But you know what? The car is never comfortable. It was never comfortable, but I never had big cars. Maybe if you had a big car or like a, you know, my buddy had, what you know, like a Tahoe or whatever. He had that big area in the back. Then it's probably amazing. But in my my little Isuzu iMark, it was no fun.
Yeah, and you would end up getting a crick neck and shit, you know. And
yeah, it was just, it was always, dude, I remember doing it with one girl in the back of this little car. And I used to use the back seat as like a trash can, basically. So her feet were just like kicking around the trash everywhere, and it smelled like garbage too. It was so bad. Oh my god, youth! You'll do anything. Who cares, right?
Yeah, no, it's amazing you think about. Do you ever get caught? I had one of my in high school. I got caught. The father caught me. Like we were in the pool, and I had her on the edge of the pool, and I was performing oral on her, and the dad was home and he saw it. Can you imagine seeing a 15-year-old daughter with a 16-17-year-old high school kid?
Yeah, but I mean, did he? I love that he didn't stop you.
That's the point. Thank you. I'm like, what?
He was just watching. He's like, I'm gonna let him finish.
Did he film
it? Her and I are gonna have a talk. Like, that's gross, man. That's fucking gross. You're supposed to go out there and stop that shit. Yeah, he fucking let that happen. It was just like, well, I want him to finish, so let him just do your thing.
I watched him eat you out for a whole half hour.
Exactly. Do you realize how long it took him to get you off?
How dare he? He needs to learn to do better.
Exactly. He's not even any good at it.
You mentioned Trump. Here's a story out of Florida this week, which is amazing. A protester says he knocked down Trump supporter, who was 72 years old, in self-defense. The young man was only in his 20s when he knocked the old man down. So the question is, you know, this, of course, you know, there's old people that think you just won't hit them. You know, they'll say shit, but you can't hit an old man, just like you can't hit a woman. You can't, you know, you never, like, I don't think I've never been in fear of my life from a 72-year-old.
Well, didn't they have the same thing happen up in Buffalo when the guy was just out there and they accused him of like trying to, I don't know, doing whatever, and they just ran him over and cracked his skull open?
Oh, no, that guy had a bit of a pass. I mean, when the SWAT, the team, the police officers
came
out of the way. Yeah. Yeah, but it was, you know, I mean, the guy
was not a threat. Come on, he was an old, frail man, and they fucking knocked him over and cracked his head open and then didn't bother to try to administer first.
Oh, fuck him. He was a loser to me. And you know what? Let me tell you something.
See, fuck you. Fuck you, then. Fuck you, and fuck your old man. Listen, if you're going to say fuck that old man, then fuck your old man.
No, I'm not. No, because let me finish your story there, sir. First of all, I think the man deserved it. If you're going to get in somebody's young kid's face, if you're going to sit there and blah, 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 you're going to, and he was aggressive. The old man was aggressive. So the minute you break my space, whatever befalls you is your fault.
Wait, but you're talking about the Trump old man.
Yes. So I'm telling, but what I'm saying is, like, for example, the one that you're talking about with the police, first of all, he wasn't crushed. He was basically he was bumped out of the way. And the dummy, he looked like he was on a fucking skateboard. He was so out of balance. You know what I mean? So it's not like, you know, like any other normal person would have been able to. The guy almost, come on, the guy was a putz. You know, the guy, listen, if you're that fucking frail, you don't want to be out there in a protest, okay?
No, I agree with that. I agree with that. But if you knock somebody down, you see they're injured, you don't just leave them there like, ha ha, fuck you.
Well, you know, what are they going to do? They got guns. They don't have Band-Aids. A man in his 20s.
You call first aid. I believe they do have radios on them.
But I think they did. I think they, you know, they said call, you know, look, pick up the old man on the fucking corner. The man in his 20s claiming that he knocked down the elderly Trump supporter in Nocatee, Florida. You know, that's where all the rednecks are. And an act of self-defense. Confrontation.
Well, I mean, that can happen too, because, and I hate to say this, but during one of the other protests, we saw this old guy get out with a bow and arrow and try to fucking shoot arrows. And it's what? Like, well, what do you think's going to happen now, old man? Do you think they're just going to let you shoot arrows at them? No, they're going to fucking beat you up. I mean, that was crazy town.
You know, I don't know if that guy was old. That guy was probably in his 40s or 50s. Yeah, that got out of the car. He was a big guy.
I don't know. He was pretty silver-haired. I would say 50s to 60s.
Yeah.
But again, we, you know, we could look at the tape and I could be wrong. Yeah, he was an older guy. But still, he fucking pulled out a bow.
Let's go to instant replay.
come on.
A bow and arrow. Listen, that is the most inefficient weapon in a crowd.
The worst.
You know what I mean? You might, you know, you have to pick your weapon. Do you carry a weapon? Do you have a gun permit?
I do not, but that doesn't mean I'm anti-gun. I mean, I grew up in Texas. I grew up around guns. Yeah. I'm not anti-gun in any way. I understand, you know, the right to carry weapons. And I like, if you're licensed and you've gone through the process, then by all means, then you've done, you know, carry a weapon then. Now, open carry, I'm not crazy about. I mean, outside of urban areas where people are all packed in together, it's further out and, you know, it's fewer people and everybody knows everybody else. I think it's probably a little different, but I don't know. Open carry, I'm not 100% down with.
It's weird you say that. Like, I understand what you're saying, but I also say the difference. If I'm in Montana, right, you know, and I have a gun on my side, you know,
that's what I'm talking about. Then, you might run into a caribou. You might need to shoot it. I mean, shit happens.
Sorry, you got to worry about killing a wolf or something. I get it.
Right, and there's no emergency services that's going to be there and under fucking, you know.
But I would say we're almost in a period in an urban situation now or in a more congested situation. Yeah, it's a little weird. You know what I mean? Like, I have a gun. I have a carry permit and a concealed weapon permit. But I used to just leave it in the car when I go somewhere. Now I carry it in my man purse with my wallet and everything else. So my wife's like, why don't you just
bring it? See, that still isn't the same as open carry.
Right, because
to me, open carry is it's an act of intimidation, in my opinion.
It's not
in every case, but it certainly feels that way.
Yeah, unless you're walking into an area, like, I'll admit, when I go through certain sketchy neighborhoods and it's late at night and, you know, I'm at a stoplight where the ambushes occur and carjackings can occur, you know, I'll open up the bag and I'll have my hand in the, you know, just in case, just to be that one step closer to defending myself. You know what I mean? Speaking of spending money and protecting yourself, I don't know, it doesn't make any difference. NASA,
I was gonna say, where are we going?
NASA leak says NASA is testing a new $23 million titanium space toilet. You know, you always wonder how it is somebody takes a shit in zero gravity.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if you ever thought it
takes titanium.
That's what you just need. You know, you need Captain America.
Well, generally, isn't it a vacuum system?
That's what I would hope. But I didn't realize it was a big deal. I mean, I can imagine when you take a piss, I thought everybody just pissed in their suits and just took shits in their suits. But I guess you don't want to do that. I mean, how long can you be in?
Yeah, no, that's got to be worse than wearing your underwear twice.
Yeah, or going
or naked. Even sleeping naked.
Yeah, NASA's first new space potty in decades cost $23 million. It's a titanium toilet, better suited for women. See, everything's going to women. Is getting not so dry run.
Everything's going to women.
It's packed inside a cargo ship set to blast off late Thursday. Thank God they could finally have a place to take a shit.
Thank God.
What time is it?
Is it 6 o'clock?
Yeah, we're gonna wrap this up. One last story here. British Wildlife Park removes 5 cursing parrots from public view. You ever have a parrot?
No, but I do have a friend who has one. I'm trying to think if it's a parrot or some kind of exotic bird. But I've seen them a few times in my life. Sure.
What's more offensive or what's more irritating? A guy with a parrot on his shoulder or a guy with a gun on his belt?
I'm going to go gun.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess you wouldn't feel as endangered or if a guy had a parrot.
Yeah, it's not quite as threatening. Not quite as, yeah.
But which one do you think is trying to prove a point? Which one needs...
They're both trying to prove a point. You know, I mean, the guy with the parrot, he wants attention. And the guy with the gun, he also wants attention.
Right. A British Wildlife Park has removed the African gray parrots from a public view because of the foul language. Seems the parrots were going saying, hey, get the fuck out of here, motherfucker. Yeah. During their time together, the birds shared the ability to curse up a storm, something they engaged in quite often.
They heard it from somebody. Somebody taught it to them. So I feel like they brought in one bird that they didn't realize it had a foul mouth odor, and then that bird just taught the rest.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. That's what they're saying in the story, oddly enough. Birds learn together. So don't buy a parrot and don't teach it bad words. But just like humans, that's the first language we learn. Where you learn a little new language, you learn how to the dirty words, of course. So, but that's all we have time for here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Again, I want to thank my friend and guest Greg Wilson today, who joined us. Is that show still going on? By the way, that was fun watching the TV show.
No, unfortunately, we got canceled. That was United We Fall on ABC, and it was a lot of fun, and it was a very well-rated show. We were number one on most of the nights we're out, but I guess the network just ultimately didn't believe in it, and that's the way it goes in network television. This is not my first show that, unfortunately, the suits didn't get behind, and if they don't believe in it, then that's the end of the story, you know, and so onwards and upwards. If I may plug one thing, or two things, is that okay?
Absolutely.
First of all, my podcast, if you like fantasy football, there it is, Fantasy Football Hush Reality. That's available on iTunes and Apple Music or Google Play. And then also, you know, I just today on YouTube released part one of a documentary interview I did with my sister, Sarah Wilson. It's called The Girl Who Died Three Times. And it's actually the very true story of my sister, Sarah, and the physical journey that she's had, and consequently her many, many interactions with the spirit realm, the afterlife, going back and forth between the other side and this side, and ghosts and spirits and hauntings, all kinds of crazy stuff. It's really a remarkable story. So if you want to check that out, it's on my YouTube. It's on all my social media. So you can either look up on Instagram or Facebook at Greg Romero Wilson, or on Twitter or YouTube at The Greg Wilson. And you could, or just search The Girl Who Died Three Times. It has its own YouTube page. And it's also connected to a GoFundMe for my sister because she does need a kidney transplant. So that's part of it too. So, but please, you want to, I mean, listen, it's the Halloween season. You want to be freaked out. You want to be creeped the fuck out. You want chills running down your spine. Please check it out.
Yeah, that's a great time for that. Absolutely. And for me, by the way, if you guys are in Vegas, I'll be at the World Series of Comedy on November 13th at the Stratosphere, the LA Comedy Club at the Stratosphere. Come out and cheer me on in my ninth spot. I'll nothing worse than following eight comics, like being fifth in a gangbang.
Last car pulling up a train.
There you go. Not much hasn't been covered yet, folks. But other than that, by the way, I have a new Twitter handle. I got kicked off Twitter, but I have a new Twitter handle at Funny Fiduciary. That's my new Twitter handle. So if you could, and also follow the show at Wake Up Dougie. Follow us on Instagram at the Wake Up Late with Dougie show, and follow me on Instagram at Dougie Dangerous. That's it. Thanks for joining me, buddy. Appreciate it. Stay well.
Good times, my man. Good to see you. And hey, Doolins, man, you feel better, brother. I hope you get better. I really do.
Yeah, Lucas, get strong, brother. We hope to see you out there soon. Take care, guys. God bless. And we will be off next week because I'm going to be touring through North Carolina, finding my new home. And we'll be back in 2 weeks right here at the same spot. Take care. Wake up!